Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
It's 7 degrees on Friends Plaza in Urbana this morning, and it's 8:50, time for our pre-opening commodity market report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending January 25th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 15.5. Next year, 9.1. Corn this year, 62.8. Next year, 4.7. Soybeans this year, 24.4. And next year, 0.9. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. Cash hog prices in the Midwest today are called mostly steady, but there are some firm bids as well on buying interest for Saturday and next week. Terminals are called steady to firm with tops from $30.50 to $33. Peoria is called steady to a dollar higher today, with a top price of $30.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, January 24th, negotiated swine purchases were 15,682. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $40 to $52. The weighted average, $48.70, a gain of $1.62 from Wednesday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $31.41 to $40.50, the weighted average $38.64. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 18,426. The base price range was $40 to $56.50, the weighted average $52.35, a gain of 23 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $32 to $41, and the weighted average was $38.53. Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. A ridge of high pressure in the upper atmosphere is over Argentina right now, and so therefore the jet stream winds across the South American continent are way to the south, to southern Argentina, near the south tip around Patagonia. So as a result, the upper air winds are very weak across the prime production areas of Brazil and Argentina. And that usually means dry weather, and there will be some areas that have dry weather here over the next week. And this is not good timing for some areas to have dry weather, as we're to the equivalent of late July in the Midwest Corn Belt and heading toward August. So some of the corn is pollinating, especially in Argentina, which gets a little slower start because it's farther away from the equator and actually more similar to our area than, say, Brazil, which has a bit longer growing season. So anyway, pollination of corn and eventually pod setting of beans, and moisture is needed at this time of year. And again, it looks like the most favorable rains are going to be in the same areas that have had favorable rains here over much of the growing season. So it's going to continue to be a garden across much of the middle of the production area of Brazil. So production areas from Mato Grosso do Sul and southern Mato Grosso through southern Goiás and southern Minas Gerais, also into Paraná and Sao Paulo, should be doing fine. But as you go farther south in Brazil into Santa Catarina and the southernmost state, rather large state of Rio Grande do Sul, rainfall is going to be very spotty here over the next week. So Rio Grande do Sul and Santa Catarina are starting to dry out quickly. So far, they haven't had big problems with crops, but that's now a concern because it doesn't look like much is coming in over the coming week. And in Argentina, it continues to be a case where some western production areas will do okay. So from northeastern La Pampa through Cordoba on northward, it's not looking too bad. But as you get farther to the east into Entre Rios, or I should say Santa Fe is what I meant to say there, and much of Buenos Aires, it looks like there's going to be continued dry weather in many areas. So in Argentina, the crop conditions are going to be about 50-50. The western area is doing much better than the eastern areas as we look ahead to the coming week and beyond. So that's going to be a big concern here. It looks like eastern Argentina, southern Brazil, and Paraguay are going to have some areas of prolonged dryness here. Now, as far as the U.S. is concerned, we do have finally some milder air coming in after a couple of very chilly nights with temperatures well below zero across much of the Corn Belt, especially the snow-covered areas. But now we're going to start to see a moderation, starting out with a little bit of light snow and freezing drizzle in parts of the Midwest tonight into tomorrow. The more significant weather system, next one, comes in Monday, and it's going to tap Gulf moisture. Strong southerly winds will bring warmth and moisture northward, and there could be locally heavy rain, so we'll have to watch that for the flooding potential. And then later next week, the parade of weather systems starts, and rain at times. Some places could get snow with a parade of weather systems in the early part of February. It does look like a wetter weather pattern is still setting up. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keyser.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City marked wheat open at 9:55 and a half, up a half last trade, up 8. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 9:12, up 3 last trade, up 8. July, 8:58, down 1.5 last trade, up 6.25. March corn opened at 4.91 1/4, up 2 last trade, up 8.5. July, 5:10 3/4, up 3/4 last trade, up 8.25. December, 5:02 3/4, up 1/4 last trade, up 8.5. Let's go out to next July, 5:20 1/4, up 6.25 last trade, up 5. March soybeans open at 12:35 1/2, up 5 last trade, up 17.25. July 12:64, up 1/4 last trade, up 15.25. November 12:19, up 4 last trade, up 16.5. March soybean meal open at 3:32.20, unchanged last trade, up $5. March soybean oil open at 52, up 32 last trade, up 40. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Well, we had export sales out this morning delayed by the Martin Luther King holiday one day. What did you make of them?
Well, I thought they were outstanding. We saw the corn numbers, you know, higher than the average guess. We saw beans right within the guess and wheat higher than the average guess. And I would expect next week so we're going to be just like this after the down that we've seen in the market this week.
What really caught my eye in the export sales report was bookings for next year for wheat at 9.1.
Well, I thought that and the bookings for corn at 4.7. It certainly tells us that all the people who are buying from us see the value in the grain, even at these current price levels.
What do you make of the technical action this week? Like, do you like the volatility or hate it?
Well, who can really like it that much, I guess? It depends upon what side of the market that you're on. I think when you look at the volatility, one of the things it does is it really rips up people's emotions. I mean, you know, they tend to suddenly feel like the world has come to an end, when in reality, so much of the action that we've seen this week has been based more on what's been going on in the Dow and the S&P, not at all related to anything in general about the commodities. I mean, when you look back, 98 through 2001, we really didn't see any of these guys over here shoring up their S&P and their Dow Jones positions. And now what we see is when we see some continued downtrend in that market, they come over here and they take money out of this market to make margin calls over in that particular market. And that's why I think it's pretty obvious, because we saw the Dow turn itself around, we saw the grains turn themselves around. And I don't think this is the end of it, but if a person can just take it for what it's worth, and not give up on everything and think that the entire sky is falling, we're in pretty good shape.
February cereal options expire today. Any fireworks there today?
Well, I don't think that it's going to be huge. Cereal options, you know, we use cereal options all the time, but they tend to be used more just as a short term, more heavily just in this last week. And so, no, I don't think that there's going to be an awful lot. It's not, it doesn't seem to be paid as much attention to as what the major trading months basically, or the impact isn't as severe as the major trading months.
What about the calls today?
Well, when I look at the calls, corn up 8 to 10, you know, it'd be great to see it trade above that 10-day moving average. Beans up 15 to 17. 1242 is our objective turnaround point at that. And wheat up 8 to 11 in the Chicago KC market, 20 to 30 in the Minneapolis market. When we look at cattle, basically pretty flat to firm. You know, if corn goes up, I believe cattle prices will go up. Feeder prices will drop for the same reason. And hogs pretty mixed. We've got really firm cash out in the hogs. A nice lean index is up, higher grain. So I think that should shore up that particular market.
Thank you much, Jackie.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.